106.9 WCTR, the greatest hits of all time. More and less in the morning. It's Thursday, and it's time for Pet Patter with Dr. Rachel Crockett. Good morning, Dr. Crockett.
Good morning.
Well, we are inching up on Christmas, and it's something that we talk about, I think, every year, but there are some delightful things about Christmas that are not so delightful for our pets. So I thought we'd go over some of the things we need to keep an eye on when we're thinking about our tree and our holiday plants and our holiday goodies.
Yep. I guess, first of all, it becomes a bit of a hectic time of year, especially if you're trying to get everything situated, getting your presents, holiday parties. You know, if you're working or have kids in school, the schedule changes up a little bit. Maybe we're traveling. So when it comes to dogs and cats, their schedule gets a little mixed up as well. And because of that, you can maybe be a little bit more lax when you're trying to get things together. Maybe you're really good in just the normal schedule of making sure the door is closed to the bathroom. You know, you don't leave things out on the counter, things like that. But when holidays come around and your schedule gets really hectic, you can barely even think for yourself. Sometimes we forget to do those things. So because of that, we tend to see a lot of gastrointestinal upset this time of year. That's the, you know, the least of the things that can happen. But you know, some of these things can be quite toxic to our dogs and cats, especially the number one we think of dogs and chocolate. That dogs can't handle chocolate, and most people know that. Just a little bit more of a background with that. It's the dark chocolate that's most toxic. The amount of, the cacao, that percentage is what's most toxic. So white chocolate pretty much is not a non-issue. It's except for the sugar high. Milk chocolate, you know, the more milk that's in it, the less toxic it is. But when you get the worst is baker's chocolate. And those, you know, you can see those bars that have percentages of actual cacao in it. The more percentage that is, the worse off it is for a dog. And it's weight dependent as well. So your little chihuahua can't handle near as much as your big mastiffs and St. Bernards can, since the toxic dose is weight dependent. So just a little bit of background information for you. If by chance the dog does get into something chocolate, the more baker's chocolate you have, the more toxic it can be. If you catch it, remember, if you can catch it within an hour, you can induce vomiting with hydrogen peroxide. You know, my girl has gotten into a few things over the course of her life, and I've had to give her hydrogen peroxide, and some people are doing it, you know, just a tablespoon at a time, really. When you're panicky and concerned about it, you take the bottle and kind of pour it down their throat a little bit. But don't pour the whole bottle down. Just give it a little bit at a time and then see how they respond. The effects are pretty quick. And, you know, once they start vomiting, then they'll go on vomiting for a little bit. But essentially, we want their gastric contents to be brought up so that they can't be processed and cause harm.
Now, is chocolate toxic to cats in the same way as it is dogs?
Yeah, I don't think that it's not as common that we see that, but I think it's a similar situation. When we have to bring that back up, we certainly don't want them to process that.
And of course, another thing that I think is probably more cat specific than dogs, both dogs and cats are fascinated by the tree, but it seems like cats just can't leave them alone. And especially like if you have shiny tinsel or anything like that.
Yeah, thankfully tinsel's kind of gone, well, I don't know if it's gone out of favor in every household, but we don't tend to see it as much as we did back in the 80s. But any kind of tinsel is not great for cats. They love anything string-like is a toy. And if they eat it, not only can it cause a blockage, but specifically we worry about something called intussusception, and that's when you have a linear form body like tinsel. A piece of it gets kind of not buried in the intestinal wall, but you've got some. It's what moves things along in the intestine. The intestine, it's called peristalsis, and that's the action of the intestine kind of contracting on itself to propel the contents through. So what happens with the linear foreign body is you've got a piece of string and the intestine is kind of, contracting against itself. Well, if it gets kind of one piece gets stuck and adheres to the, you know, the lining of the wall, you get this telescoping effect of the intestine. And that is a really nasty thing to happen, because what happens is, because it's kind of telescoping on itself, you've got blood vessels and tissue that is being triangulated, and you can actually get pieces of bowel that get damaged beyond repair. And then you can get, just because of the nature of it, it is blocking point A from point B. So it might present like a, you know, a farm bat body blockage where you've got vomiting and you don't really have any stool on the other end, and the animal just goes, you know, from 60 to 0 real quick, just not feeling well at all. And whereas a straightforward farm body blockage, you can just go in there surgically and make a little tiny incision in the bowel and remove the obstruction and close it over, and they usually do quite well. When you have an intussusception, especially if you've got tissue that has, you know, been compromised beyond the point of repair, you're resecting the bowel. You have to cut, you know, back towards the point where you've got healthy tissue on either side of the intussusception. And even if it's not damaged beyond repair, once that bowel starts to telescope in on itself like that, it really is, it's compromised as well. So usually intussusception, you're taking a segment of bowel out and then suturing the ends together. And that really is, that's a whole lot more of a guarded prognosis than just a simple foreign body repair surgery.
I think it's important to think about not only, I think it's important to think about not only something like tinsel on a tree, but even like ribbons. I mean, they make those really shiny metallic ribbons that you can curl up, and that is something that they could actually chew off and swallow and have the same issue with.
Yeah, absolutely. Cats love, you know, anything string just to play with. And you know, historically speaking, you know, the old ball of yarn and the kitten, you know, image that we have, that's their favorite plaything, but it can be really detrimental to their health. And then the Christmas tree can pose a hazard for dogs too, just drinking out of the base there. Not really a deadly issue or a hugely toxic issue, but that's a really common cause of gastrointestinal upset. Is we'll get some diarrhea here or there coming in because dogs, and I guess cats too, they grow into it must have a certain flavor that tastes better than their water bowl, because they like to drink out of the base of the tree, if you have a real tree. And then just the nature of the tree itself standing up. I mean, Lord knows, cats love to climb the trees. And if you do have a cat that, you know, it's the first year you've got a tree, you're not sure how it's going to go, you might want to secure it with a rope or, you know, something of that nature. Make sure it's really sturdy, just because cats do love to climb trees. And we've had many a tree fall, you know, especially if the cat's there overnight with the tree when they're most active. We've come down to Christmas trees that have been knocked over and all of the ornaments kind of tossed aside because the cat decided to play in the tree at 2 a.m. in the morning. So just be aware of that. Those are things they love to do.
And then I think finally, you mentioned it earlier, schedules are changing. People are coming to visit and coming and going in irregular patterns. So just be aware that your pets can be, you know, how that can affect them as far as flight risk and as well as their overall emotional well-being, I guess.
Yep. From puppies that need routine, just try and I know it's probably the last thing on your mind when things are so hectic around the holidays, but try and keep that routine as best as possible. I mean, even if you're traveling, remember there's potty breaks while you're driving. The dogs are anxious dogs that don't really like people coming to the house, you know, a change in any kind of situation that throws them off. Maybe they're on anxiety medication already. Just be aware of that. you have to be careful with them as well. You got people coming in and out of the house, and if you've got a strictly indoor cat that maybe likes to dart out any chance they can get, it's always handy to just put them in a room that's one door removed from the outside door. I think that's the first thing to do. Especially if, I mean, cats, they're very interesting animals, as we've said before, and some get their noses out of joint pretty easily when their household is disrupted. So, you know, unless they're really a party animal and a really, you know, outgoing cat, which there are some, keeping them in a separate bedroom or just on the, you know, other side of the house, that's not a bad idea when you've got company coming over.
If you've got a question you'd like to ask Dr. Crockett on a future show, you can email it to askdrc@wctr.com. This has been Pet Patter.